The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with John Gilroy of Lectromech, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, well, I'd like to have the starting infield for the Washington Nationals if we had the first baseman, but we don't. Today we're going to talk about FedRAMP instead of double plays and long ball hitters. We're going to talk about FedRAMP and how it impacts my listeners, federal IT professionals, and that's my audience, you know. I'll give you a preview of my audience. They show up for work at 9 o'clock in the morning. By 9:10, they're about to climb out the basement window. You know, they're getting frustrated with things, and maybe an answer for them is moving to the cloud, maybe moving to the hybrid cloud. You just don't do that, you know, haplessly. What you do is you take and consciously do it. And one thing you want to look at is FedRAMP. And we brought in world-famous expert on FedRAMP and a couple of people who help our listeners with FedRAMP. And I thought we'd have a nice little conversation today. In the studio, we have Matt Goodrich, who is the director of the Federal Risk and Authorization Management Program, or FedRAMP. We have David McComber, EVP Public Sector and Federal at QTS, and Seth Abrams, CTO, Homeland Security Group at CSRA. Matt, a lot of people have seen you at events. You're kind of a common, you're all around town here. Tell us about your background, how you wound up at GSA.
Well, Nashville born and bred, did a little school in Miami, school in Denver, then finally found my way to DC. I've been with GSA for about 8 years. And have really started with the Federal Cloud Computing Initiative and have sort of made that kind of part of my career is just getting agencies and the federal government to modernize and move to the cloud. About 5 years ago, I raised my hand and said, sure, I take on security in cloud. And here I am, you know, 5 years later with that, taking on FedRAMP and, you know, moving the program in the direction to get more agencies to modernize and use cloud, but make sure that they're using it securely.
Fearless. I've seen you in front of groups where you just stand there and they have 500 people in the room and ask me any questions. So that's an important skill to have. I think they recognize that in you too, didn't they, Matt?
I hope so. I mean, I think there's a bunch of people talking to me is not going to scare me. I think I'm more scared by the fact that I'd like to see people actually modernize in government. And if we don't, I think that's going to be a bigger problem. So talking to people about problems is not going to be a problem for me.
Let's isolate that quote. Well, I like that one. Yeah, I don't care about the people. I want to achieve the goals and the objectives. I like that. David, your background, please.
Sure. Joined QTS in July of 2016. Prior to that, did 21 years at IBM, all within the public sector. So the first 15 dealt with state and local and up in the state of New York. Then I did a 2.5-year stint over in Central and Eastern Europe. And then the last 3 years at IBM were dealing with federal channel systems integrators and the most recent role running VP of Civilian and Healthcare.
But sounds like 21 years in the big house.
Yeah, exactly.
I did 21 years. I got off early for good behavior. 21 years, you have a good idea of what's going on in the federal government. Wide variety of experience now how it applies to my listeners, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's not only the federal, but the state and local, and then obviously the international experience. I'm born and bred public sector guy, so kind of seen it all one way or the other.
Seth Abrams, your background, please.
Sure. I graduated from Penn State a while back and went to work in the financial industry doing auditing for stock transactions. And then had that federal itch. And so I came down to D.C. and did a various stint on multiple government contracts, mostly in the application development side. And then moved over to infrastructure and then moved over to CSC at the time. And CSC merged with SRA, so we created CSRA. But over there, became the CTO for the Homeland Security Group, which consists of law enforcement and all the Homeland Security agencies.
So in the studio today, we have not infielders. We had a pretty wide range of experience in the federal government, all kinds of different levels. And maybe you have some sensitive understanding on how my listeners can make this transition to the cloud, how they can save money, and maybe some of the minefields to avoid along the way. You know, Matt, when I started doing my research on this, I
got a little pen and started writing down acronyms, and I ran out of ink. I ran out of ink. There's so many acronyms. I mean, the guys in the room here, they all understand these fancy terms, but and I think many listeners understand them too. But let's maybe throw out some terms here and find out exactly what this all means.
I mean, it's not government if we don't have an acronym for it.
That's
so,
right. I mean, there's a new one called FATARA. I'm like, oh my goodness, there's too many F's going on. We've got FATARA, we got FedRAMP, we get this. So for the novice out there, for the guy who just moved into town here yesterday, so what exactly is FedRAMP and what does it mean for the people listening?
FedRAMP is the Federal Risk Authorization Management Program. It basically means FISMA for cloud. FISMA, yet another acronym. FISMA is the law, Federal Information Security Management Act, and that means tells federal agencies if you have an IT system, you have to authorize it for use. You have to put security around it. So under the Department of Commerce, there's NIST, National Institute of Standards and Technology. They create the standards by which agencies implement that law, FISMA. As agencies are using cloud systems, we've put some standardization around the way that FISMA or the way that NIST has implemented FISMA so that agencies can really focus on reusing it. So our main goals with FedRAMP is one, making sure that agencies use the cloud securely. That's always going to be our number one goal. If you're using the cloud, make sure it's secure. Number two, though, is since cloud typically has many agencies using the same environment, we want to make sure that security authorization can be reused. So making sure we do it right the first time so that it can be reused from agency to agency and lessening the work that they have to do, not only for agencies, but for vendors alike.
That's interesting. So NIST has got like 421 controls or little checklist items in order to be secure in the cloud. Is that about
They've
right,
got,
am I guessing?
NIST has a catalog of probably roughly 600 to 700 controls.
Wow.
We've selected, depending on the type of data you're putting in, if you're looking at sort of public information, I'm sure we'll talk about one of our new approaches coming up, but about a little over 100 for moderate systems, which is looking at most types of data that you'd be used to, sort of normal private, some privacy information, but just most normal data you're thinking about. That's going to have about 320 controls. And if you're looking at high impact, which is things that look like that if there was a breach would impact someone's life, financial ruin, or the degradation of an entire organization, that's looking at about 420 controls. So, and that's, say controls, that means anything from how do you log in to the big red data, the big red button on the data center turning it off, to types of encryption and things like that. So looking at a whole host of things that you would do.
You know, David, a few years back, we had a guy named Vivek Kundra sit in that chair. And he talked about moving to the cloud. And this was a great, noble thing to pound on the table. And he you know, pounded the table. And then he left the government. And so guys like Matt, and Matt gets hired. And they go, hey, Matt, we got to implement this guy, Vivek. So where does your company fit in? Where's QTS
Yeah, so QTS is a hybrid cloud services company. So what Matt was talking about with FedRAMP is public cloud domain. So QTS operates our own public cloud. We also work very closely with other FedRAMP cloud providers to provide customers with choices depending on the workloads and the applications. The other thing that QTS is able to bring to the table is we do run the FISMA environments that Matt discussed, so private cloud environments when they don't want to have multi-tenants in it. And then we also deal with customers that want simple co-location or very large co-locations. And then the third, the last thing that we're really getting involved in and very interested in is QTS is a data center company, a data center REIT at heart, and we are looking to bring our REIT capabilities to the public sector and to the federal government to see how an organization like QTS could potentially build and help modernize data centers for the federal government.
Well, great. So, Seth, let's say I have a student named Karen Bittner, and she works over at HHS, and someone waltzes in her office and dumps something on her desk. This is before she climbs out the basement window. And, hey, you got to move this to the cloud. You got to move this to the cloud or that to the cloud or some of these aspects to the cloud. So where do you guys fit in? Where does CSRA fit in?
Well, that's exactly where we fit in, right? We're the agency's helper, right? And when the government has a lot of policies and controls, they need to turn to somebody that understands their policies and controls but also understands their mission. And so we combine both of those things together to really bring them into the cloud or a hybrid cloud in a safe manner, right? Because the worst thing that you can have is additional risk.
Yeah, risk is something to be avoided. I always like to give websites out here. So Matt, if people are listening to the World Series and they're listening to this online a few months down the road, and they go, how can I get more information? So how can they find out more about FedRAMP? Is there a website they can go to, maybe dial into?
www.fedramp.gov. By far, that's our number one website. That's where you go to if you want anything official on FedRAMP. Just go to fedramp.gov.
Great, great, great. You know, I have all these acronyms in front of me. I thought I'd do a new radio show. I have three guests here, and you have to buzz in on what acronym you can go. We start off with FedRAMP. That's buzz the first one. I think what we'll do is we'll take a break and talk about JAB, JAB, and talk about CSPs and all kinds of things like ATOs, and then you can buzz in, and the first one gets a free donut down the street or something. We'll have to take a break and come back with that. However, one thing before we go to break, if you're listening to this and you want to go to maybe an event and learn more about that, Dave, any place they can go? Is there an event coming up in the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, absolutely. So QTS is holding an event in conjunction with Matt and his team in Reston.
Great, great. More details on that later in the show. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Matt Goodrich from FedRAMP, Dave McComber from QTS, and Seth Abrams from CSRA. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. A little raucous break there, but I think we survived it somehow or other. In the studio today, we have Matt Goodrich from FedRAMP. Everyone knows Matt. We have David McComber, who is EVP Public Sector and Federal at QTS. And we have Seth Abrams, CTO Homeland Security Group at CSRA. After 25 years in the radio, you better be able to pronounce those letters, huh? Something like that. Well, what I do is a very scientific way to prepare for these interviews. What I do is I get out my phone, go to Twitter, and I'll type in Matt Goodrich. I'll type in FedRAMP. And so I went to the FedRAMP Twitter feed, which I think everyone knows. The Twitter feed is at FedRAMP. And I saw this thing about BlackBerry first to receive crisis communication. So what's this all about? What's this got to do with FedRAMP?
So I think what's great about it is it's showing just more and more entrance into the FedRAMP marketplace. So we're looking at more different types of providers, more software as a solution types of providers, and more solutions coming in. If you look at our FY17 goals, we're looking at doubling the number of cloud providers that we have. So this is just another instance of another provider that's finding the federal marketplace something they see as a viable option, and FedRAMP being able to enable that to be for agencies to use. And then giving it also another marketing place so that agencies can come to FedRAMP and see what's available for them to use and start to use quickly. So this is just another great instance of another vendor coming into the marketplace through FedRAMP.
I like theoreticals here. So theoretical, let's say you're working for an agency, maybe Karen Bittner, and her agency it's possible this year they may get their budget reduced. Who knows? Mm-hmm. And they may be in situations where they got to look for ways to save money. And so this may be one consideration where they can move something from behind the wall or move part of it outside the wall, Matt. So that's really what FedRAMP does. It says, look, if you're getting slammed and you got to save some money, here is an option, but we can let you, offload stuff to the cloud and do it safely. I think that's the phrase that pays.
Right. No, I think that's the great thing is that what we've done with FedRAMP is tried to reduce the compliance or security burden. I think if you look at anyone in technology, most people look at security and see it as an added burden or as an added cost that maybe doesn't have the ROI that you might see in extra features or extra functions. So what we've tried to do within FedRAMP is make sure that what we're using is secure, but that if you do the security correctly the first time, it gets to be reused. You don't have to continually redo it. While we aren't just a certification program, there's a program around it and there is continuous work. That work doesn't have to be redone from energy to interior to State Department. So it's something that we've really tried to do is that enable that cost savings associated with cloud, try and incorporate that cost savings with the security side as well.
Yeah, that makes sense. David, if you go to your Twitter feed, it's at @datacenters_QTS. You see all kinds of interesting tweets. So why the heck would someone even consider moving to hybrid IT? Does it really save them money? Why hybrid IT? What's the value?
It absolutely does save them money. And one of the examples, you were just talking to Matt about FedRAMP. So as a cloud service provider, one of the things that we're very much focused on and part of the event that we're doing on the 26th is how do we help ISVs get into the FedRAMP environment quicker? So there's a lot of ISVs out there that may or may not really have a lot of federal presence, but want to get into the federal market, but are overwhelmed by what it's really going to take to get into the game. So at QTS, one of the things that we can do is we can provide them with the infrastructure as a service. We can provide them with the advisory services to help them get their ATO. We can help them with contract vehicles through relationships that we have with Carahsoft and others, and really give them a sales force to go out and cover the market. So when you look at it from an ISV perspective, the cost to entry using this FedRAMP package or this FedRAMP bundle that we're going to be talking about can really help them save money and time.
So if someone's putting the shoulder to you at an agency, you may want to attend this event. Just sit in the back of the room, not ask any questions, and learn and maybe try to figure it out at qtsdatacenters.com for registration. Is that correct?
Correct.
Good, good, good. Well, your turn up here, Mr. Seth. So we got at @CSRA_Inc. So that's your Twitter feed. If someone were to follow your Twitter feed and see what's going on there, they would say, okay, so give me a checklist. What are the checklist items I have to do to move part of my system to the cloud? And that's where you guys would come in, I guess. You work with agencies and say, okay, here's the first things you have to do. Here's a transition. Here's maybe a plan. Is that what you guys do, I assume?
Yeah. So you know, the first thing you have to do is understand the mission, understand the applications that you're moving. And sometimes the hybrid approach works. Sometimes you're 100% in the cloud. Sometimes you're still in the data center, right? And so you have to understand where their mission is, what their economics are. A lot of the times you'll look at an agency and, you know, it's a pay-per-use agency. And so they have a good business model where they are able to beef up their budget as the demand increases. And then you have the other side of the equation where they have a fixed budget and they have to really leverage those economies of scale and the savings of a hybrid IT model so that they don't blow their budget.
Well, Matt, we got to use your expertise here, so hang on to your seat. So so David, really trippingly in the tongue, said ATO. And I'm sure there's listeners who know what ATO is about. Maybe you can explain what an ATO is all about.
Sure. An ATO is called an authority to operate. And so it was talking about FSMA and the law and saying that agencies must authorize a system for use. So you must grant authority to operate. That's the authorization. That's the security authorization. So if you think about FedRAMP as a program, we create sort of products, if you will, almost. Those are security authorization packages. It's all of those packages. It gives all the details around the security that agencies have. And then agencies can grant an ATO or an authority to operate based off of that evidence. So it's basically just an agency saying, hey, here's a service I want to use. I've looked at the security. I've now authorized it to use. So that's what an ATO is, an authority to operate.
So PTO is when you get sick, and ATO is something completely different.
Exactly.
Well, I'm going to throw out another term for you because he's a lawyer here. You know, you quiz him. He knows all these terms backwards and forwards. In my world of marketing, there's a guy named Gary Vaynerchuk, and he hired a full-time video guy to follow him around. And he gets like $75,000 to speak. He wrote a book once called Jab, Jab, Right Hook. Kind of interesting. We've got jabs here with the federal government, so way different jab. Is that right, man? What's this jab all, J-A-B?
Our jab's a little bit nicer and a lot less violent.
But it's the same word, jab.
So our jab's called the Joint Authorization Board, and they're what I would call sort of our executive directors. It's by the OMB policy memo that created FedRAMP. They created a joint authorization board of the CIOs of DOD, DHS, and GSA. So they jointly create the requirements of FedRAMP. We also jointly authorize some systems for use government-wide. But the idea behind that board is that if we're setting requirements for the good of government and across government, if you have the Homeland Security, sort of internal defense, if you have external defense and DOD, as well as business minds, and all three can agree, the likelihood of the rest of the government thinking that's good for them should probably cover a vast majority of missions. So that was sort of the thinking behind creating that JAB or Joint Authorization Board.
Okay, so Seth, see if you can take this one for 5 points. So I go to Twitter and I see this tweet. It says, Windows achieves FedRAMP JAB P-ATO. My, my, my. Can you translate that into normal human speak? So what Windows achieved here was FedRAMP authorization, and the P-ATO means something different. Is that right? I'm not sure.
Yeah, so I'll chime in for a second. So it's PATO is provisional authority to operate. The Joint Authorization Board, it's not temporary, it's just the Joint Authorization Board doesn't actually accept risk. We recommend that agencies can use it. So we do everything that an authorization is. We just aren't actually technically using it as a board. So we're providing a provisional authorization that other agencies can reuse. It's the same thing as an authorization. That's just we're not technically accepting risk. So that's why it's called provisional.
Also, when you do your taxes, your accountant does it, but you sign it and you're responsible. He isn't.
Exactly.
Well, I get that one.
But for the tweet you're talking about, that was, I think, in reference to Microsoft Azure getting a high authorization from the Veteran Affairs recently, which is a big announcement for them.
Okay. So, David, when you have this event coming up, what kind of stuff are you going to talk about? Why should my listeners even attend?
Well, it's going to be a great event. We're really excited about it. As I mentioned before, the focus of the event is how do we make ISVs, how do we enable them, and how do we give them a better access to the federal market? So ISVs can come to this event. They can hear about our infrastructure as a service platform. They can hear about the advisory services that we're going to be able to provide to them to help them get the ATO, and then giving them the distribution and the channel mechanisms to go out there and sell it. Because as these ISVs will quickly realize, if they're not in the federal space already, contract vehicles are very, very important. We've got ways to get them on a myriad of contract vehicles through our distribution relationships, and then also create a channel ecosystem for them to go out and sell into the market.
And so ISV for the Cognoscenti, independent software vendor. Is that right?
Correct.
Great, great, great. Let's take a break. Come back, talk more about FedRAMP. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Matt Goodridge from FedRAMP, David McComber from QTS, Seth Abrams from CSRA. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Matt Goodridge from FedRAMP. We have David McComber from QTS, Seth Abrams, CTO, Homeland Security Group at CSRA. During the break, we were talking about some of the bigger vendors in town here, and I think we all know the usual suspects, you know, Amazon Web Services and Microsoft. As a matter of fact, Amazon Web Services got a big dog and pony show coming up in the summer, and Microsoft has their World Congress coming in 2018 downtown. 40,000, 50,000 people. I don't know how many people can be talking about Microsoft technology. So many of my listeners are maybe comfortable with Amazon because they buy stuff from Amazon, or they're comfortable with Microsoft because they've always used Microsoft Word and PowerPoint and who knows what else. So my question to you, Dave, is so if you're working for an agency and they want to make this connection safely, let's say they want to go hybrid. They want to make this connection safely. So what's the step-by-step? How do they know they can make it safely?
Yeah, so one of the things that we're seeing, John, more and more is as agencies are looking to places like QTS for their data center requirements, it used to be connectivity between the buildings in terms of gigabits, whether 10, 1, those types of things. But now the first question that they ask is, if I bring my equipment into your facility, how quickly can you get me to Amazon, or how quickly can you get me onto Microsoft? And what they're really asking for then is, do you have direct connection capabilities to GovCloud or US
That's
East,
the question,
or
right.
do you have access to Microsoft Azure's cloud? And the answer from QTS is yes, which is a great story to be able to tell, and that it clearly is a differentiator for us.
Well, good. Well, Seth, I've been picking on Matt with the terms and everything else. I'm going to pick on you now. So the term that Dave just threw out there was hybrid. So what is hybrid? If you're sitting on the bus next to someone in the metro and someone, what's a hybrid cloud? So how would you define that term, hybrid?
So, right. So hybrid cloud is really a term where it comes to, what does my infrastructure look like, right? And I really love the expression that you buy the base and you rent the surge. And so hybrid IT allows you to do that, where the base that what you have, your bread and butter of your databases and your really large data sets, you sometimes just need to own that, but you still want access to it, and you want to be able to scale as like an Amazon or an ArcP. So what you want to do is you'd want to be able to put that in an environment that doesn't have a latency that you're going across the country just to use an application, right? And so what this hybrid environment really does is it puts your data really next to the cloud, and so now you can take advantage of both the knowledge and the massive scale that you can do on internal and servers that you own with the agile approach of clouds.
Well, I like talking about the cloud. I've done it hundreds of times on the air here. A couple weeks back, I went way beyond the cloud. I went into space. I was at Satellite 2017. And I was interviewing these people with this video camera and everything else. And I'm in the middle of this interview, and they're talking about speeds and feeds and 3,000 satellites the size you can put in your hand, and constellations of satellites. And so one guy used the magic phrase, service level agreement, SLA. And I said, well, not only IT folks are worried about SLAs, and everyone should be worried about an SLA in this world too, shouldn't they?
Yeah, so if you think about buying a service, right, the purpose of buying a service is you have a certain level of expectation, right? And you know, your dryer needs to run, and your air conditioner needs to be able to go. And when you take your gloves to the laundromat, you expect them back in 3 days, and you expect them not to be destroyed. And so it's the same thing with IT. You know, your service level agreement is a certain expectation of uptime and quality of service. And so the way the government buys really needs to be dictated around SLAs, because it's really what you could expect from your environment.
Same thing in the satellite world. They want to know what to expect. They don't want to have that interrupted at all. It's important.
Right. Yeah. And the other thing it does is it allows the contractor a little bit of flexibility, where if I know that I can make an investment and enhance my SLA, there's a real carrot at the end of that instead of a stick that allows me to invest, because I know that I'm protecting an SLA, right? Because a lot of the times what we'll do is we'll put SLA penalties in our contracts to say, look, you know, we really mean this, right? If we don't hit this, then you can take your money back.
I like it so far. Well, Matt, we're going to go from constellations of satellites to tailoring.
Perfect.
There's a phrase I've in my research, there's a phrase called FedRAMP tailored. So what does that mean anyway?
Sure. So if we look at FedRAMP, we're actually still a program pretty much in its infancy. I mean, we're not even quite at 5 years yet. But as we've been growing, we really sort of focus on infrastructures and platforms at the beginning. And that's really sort of, to your point of even hybrid, like the most fundamental area of IT and modernization is at the infrastructure and platform level. But as we're growing, we're seeing more and more agencies looking for sort of turnkey solutions and a lot of software as a service solutions, which is what I think some of the event that you're going to be having on the 26th, we'll be having some of those ISVs come in and talk about how they could work with you to get into the FedRAMP space. But what we're looking at is, with that, FedRAMP's had a one-size-fits-all model. No matter what size vendor you are, no matter what type of service you're offering, all of the requirements apply to you. And so what we've been stepping back and looking is we're seeing all these digital service teams and a lot of people coming in from commercial space into government, which is really helping us modernize. What we're seeing is that there's a lot of tools out there that people are able to use in the commercial space that we're not using in the government space, because the compliance and security regime is just too onerous and too difficult. And it also doesn't match the type of or the reason you're using it or the type of data that's going into that service. So as we're looking at these software as a service, we're looking at some really low impact services that are really designed for sort of communications and things like that, that aren't and you know, project management or things like that, that aren't necessarily mission critical, but really help people do their jobs better. And so we're taking a look at how we can make the security process match the actual use of the system. So our example, I always like to use sort of day-to-day examples to try and make a little more sense, since to most people the security world is just kind of, you know, you hear that like peanuts, the teacher talking in peanuts. And so what I try to say is, Taylor's like looking at, you know, if you buy a Cadillac Escalade, you're going to have it can do anything. You know, you can do anything from getting all the crazy stuff at Home Depot and bringing and redoing your entire lawn. You can also drive all the way across the country with all the kids and the TVs in the back and everything else. In order to secure that, you're going to have a security system. You're going to lock it up at night in your garage. You're going to have all these other things in it. However, if you have a bicycle that you're just using to bike around the neighborhood or maybe go over to a friend's house occasionally, you're just going to use a U-lock to do that. If that gets lost or stolen, not that big of a deal. You still probably have a car or other means of transporting yourself. So we're looking at tailored as though that sort of U-lock on the bike. We're looking at very low risk, sort of very specific use cases as to why you would be using a service, and having security that matches that. And so it's a much, many less controls and some things around it. It's out for public comment right now. So we'll be looking for comments to come in by the end of April. So looking to make sure that it, one, works for industry. We want to make sure industry gets it, understands it, and that they see value in it. We also want to make sure agencies see it, understand it, and they believe that it would work for them too. So we're really looking to make sure there's a lot of comments out there. We're doing comments in a different way this time too. We have it up on GitHub. So we're really looking to have agencies and vendors spark a dialogue around it. So it's not just submit comments, then we all look at it and put it back out and do what we want with it. We really want to have a dialogue to make sure this is working for agencies and vendors at the same time.
So, wow.
So can I ask a question?
Sure.
So Matt, how does that differ from the classification levels of FedRAMP? So there's all those different classifications. And what's the difference between that and tailoring?
Sure. So I think if we look at the way we have baselines, we talked about the different type of security levels, the sort of low, moderate, or high, and the different types of data. We're looking for this one at really low impact. And the low impact baselines is still pretty severe. But if you're looking at enterprise-wide solutions, that would make sense at a low. But as you're looking at very specific use cases, you can look at those controls and say, maybe some of those aren't necessarily needed because of the data that we're looking at. And so as I say, as we're growing, tailored is our first foray into taking that one-size-fits-all model and start to sort of segment FedRAMP. So this is our first foray into looking at low-impact software as a service. I think this will grow as a sort of program into different things over the years. We might in a few years have, or in a few months or however long, maybe there will be a baseline for email as a service at certain mm-hmm. levels, looking at certain types of data systems across, you know, maybe law enforcement email. Maybe we'll look at HR systems. Maybe we'll look at financial systems and have different baselines for that. So we're looking as we go into software as a service, since you can define the data easier. Like if you're looking at the infrastructures, you can do anything in it. So you need to have a baseline that covers all data. If you're looking at software, if there's categories of software that maybe a baseline might make a little bit difference if removing some controls or adding some, that's where we want to go. So we're making sure that we're making sure the security matches the data that you're protecting.
So Matt, before we go to break, can you just remind our listeners where they can go to add some of these comments again, please?
FedRAMP.gov will get you there, but tailored.fedRAMP.gov will get you there faster.
Great. I hope everyone remembers that. Let's take a break, come back, talk more about FedRAMP and my listeners. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Matt Goodrich, FedRAMP, Dave McComber, QTS, Seth Abrams, CSRA. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, talking FedRAMP today. We've got the world's most famous FedRAMP person. We have Matt Goodrich here. He is, of course, the director of the Federal Risk and Authorization Management Program at FedRAMP. David McComber, EVP, Public Sector and Federal at QTS. And Seth Abrams, CTO, Homeland Security Group at CSRA. Well, I do my homework for these presentations, believe it or not, and I read an interview with you, Matt, from a FedTech magazine back in January 2017, and this is like big headlines, you know, really aggressive goals for 2017. He started listing them. I said, whoo, glad I don't work for Matt. I put in a request to change or something, but you're not going to have many friends over the GSA with these goals. So let's share some of these goals with our audience. I mean, this is a stern taskmaster here.
Sure. No, yeah. I mean, I have a really great team, but really, you know, we like to do sort of year over year. We've had pretty much 100% growth year over year. So we're still looking to do that with doubling the number of authorizations we see coming through agencies, as well as my office, as well as the reuse numbers, trying to double that so that we're making sure there's a lot of value in that reuse for those authorizations. We also have a few major strategic initiatives that we like to do. So one is making sure last year we changed the way we do our authorizations through the Joint Authorization Board. And so making sure all of our authorizations happen in under 6 months. Right now we're averaging...
Write that one down. Headline, that's a good one.
Right now we're averaging about 15 weeks compared to what used to be about 18 months. So we're seeing really, really dramatic and awesome results from that. So continuing that, talked about tailored. Part of tailored that we're also looking at is continuous monitoring. So I said this wasn't a certificate program. It's a program that we have continuous oversight and continuous activities to ensure security of these systems. Those activities that vendors have to complete and that we oversee, it's a lot of effort. It's not a minimal effort for vendors to do. That being said, we're looking at ways that we could see how it could be more efficient. So we're going through a complete redesign. And as I talked about, tailored being taking that one size fits all model and looking at how we can make it individualized, more specific for the types of data. We're also looking at that continuous monitoring and trying to understand our vendors better so we can match how they do the work with how we receive the work and make sure they match, because you're looking at small scale providers versus hyperscale providers. And you look at some places where a small scale provider automation might not make sense because the cost of automation can be expensive. You look at hyperscale providers, everything's automated. So we've got to be able to make sure we're understanding the difference between the vendors to get the right type of information. And so we're undergoing that sort of research and redesign to see how we can make that happen better too.
2 days ago, I was gave a workshop to about 50 people, and they all looked at me with my gray hair, and I said, yeah, I'm not like Obi-Wan Kenobi, you know? You're our last hope. And Obi-Wan talked about hyperspace, but I don't want to talk about hyperspace. I want to talk about hyperscale. Matt just talked about hyperscale. So what's hyperscale? Something from Obi-Wan Kenobi? What is that?
Not quite. So hyperscale is when you're dealing with the largest providers that need very significant data center and capacity space. So you're talking about organizations like SoftLayer, Twitter, Google, Microsoft, Amazon, and the likes. what we're seeing in industry from a commercial perspective is an insatiable need to add capacity for them to place their computers in certain places. So you look at Northern Virginia, 46 new sites have been created, and it's becoming the data center capital of the world. This is starting to bleed over into federal, and you're starting to see mission workloads that are requiring capacities in the 2, 3, 4, 5 type megawatt scenarios for specific missions to be able to accomplish them. So this is something that QTS is very interested in. We're exploring numerous opportunities in this space because not only do we have the capability to handle the large hyperscale type opportunities, but they're also looking for the federal compliance and the federal past performance to know how to deal with it in this space. So it's a very attractive market for us and something that we're pursuing aggressively.
So Seth Abrams, we're all listening to this. I'm sure there's people listening to this in their agencies, and they're about to pick up their phone and dial suicide hotline. And so what does it mean to them? How can you prevent them from calling suicide hotline? What does hyperscale mean to my listeners?
Yeah, so if you think about what that insatiable need really means, that means you're deploying servers at a breakneck pace, right? I've talked to some of these vendors, and even on the hardware side, and trying to negotiate deals, and they're like, well, how many racks do you need a month? Like racks a month. That's how they sell gear now, and it's a subscription model, which is great. So they just kind of like that that CD that always used to show up that you just have to send back. But so the real way you get to that scale is that you need to employ two really important methods, right? And that's infrastructure as code and DevSecOps, right? You have to do both of those at the exact same time. Because as this infrastructure shows up, you don't have time to hit next, right? There is no way you can deploy this stuff. You have to have an automated pipeline. As soon as that stuff hits the floor and plugs in, right, QTS gives you the okay, and then you open up those IP addresses and you start deploying. And all along the way, your code is checked, secured, and deployed correctly.
My neighbor Jeff Gallimore talks about DevOps all the time, but not DevSecOps. So what's DevSec? You need to toss that term out. I don't know what that means.
Oh, sorry. So you split up DevOps and you put security right in the middle there.
Oh, there we go. That makes sense. You can do it with any word.
one of the fundamental tenets of securing your environment is to make sure that your code base is secure, making sure that whatever you're changing in the environment doesn't impact the environment in a negative way. And so all these tools are now in that automation pipeline. And that's where that SecOps really comes in, where you're checking to make sure that you didn't change your network profile, you didn't change your security profile of your code, you're not bringing in a library that has a vulnerability in it, and you're also not slowing down that pipeline.
Yeah. Matt, the article that I read talked about you and talked about two industry days and two roundtables coming up. So you're really opening things up, aren't you?
We are. We're trying to make it FedRAMP Connect, because everything we do has to say FedRAMP and then a word afterwards, right? So tailored FedRAMP Connect. But what we're trying to do is really make sure that we're creating a space where agencies and industry are connecting with each other in a deeper way than we've seen before. So we're sort of... I think when we launched FedRAMP, we thought we were just a security program. And as we've grown, we've seen that we're the only government-wide program that's really dealing with cloud. Since that's sort of a space that we're in, we're wanting to make sure that we're expanding a little bit beyond just our core mission to make sure we're connecting, because we do have a marketplace of vendors who are authorized and have security around them. Agencies need that. So let's figure out ways to connect them. So we're making sure we're doing at least 2 days where it's agencies alone, so that agencies can really dig in and say what's working, what's not working, and agencies can freely say, I don't know what's going on here, and an agency that does know what's going on and say, hey, I can help. So we're doing two of those. We've had one this year already that was really successful, had about 35 different agencies there. We also are doing industry days. We had our first one last month, which was on a small scale. Was really looking at how we're going to be working with vendors with a JAB going forward, but looking to have a larger one towards the end of summer, working on that. So those are definitely things that we want to just see how we as a program can really shape industry and agencies connecting with each other, and those that either already have the connections and can help further connections with others, or find new agencies and vendors and things like that. So we're really just trying to make sure that we're continuing to be that kind of nexus between industry, security, agencies, and sort of how everyone can functionally use the cloud and modernize at the same time.
know, cloud sourcing is applied many different ways, but I like this concept of get a bunch of govies in a room, lock the doors, and say, okay, what's your problem over here? Well, right. I had to buy donuts in Springfield. Why went there? Well, Matt, I'm going to Springfield. It's the same thing. It's they can share their problems and not feel like someone's going to grab them at the end and say, this is the answer. Well, we had the exact same problem, and here's what we did, and here's the three things we found, and here's the people you work with who we trust.
Right.
There's
luckily,
trust there.
And one thing that we're trying to figure out ways to do, too, with that as well, is that we're not OMB and we're not the IG, and I mean that in a positive way. We're really here as a way to sort of help every agency get to where they're trying to go. So agencies can more freely share, and if there's a press article, then that sometimes gets people to dig in. We can sort of take it back and create best practices or lessons learned without having to be specific and making agencies worried about sharing those stories.
Boy, it almost
sounds...
Can I
give you a recommendation for that?
Sure.
Okay, so to generate revenue for the federal government, you should sell tickets. So Seth and I can share
yes,
that.
Absolutely.
Right?
That could fund the whole program that way.
They'll just say tickets to the entry and the exit. Right. Stand there with your little signs and business cards. Hey, come on in. So Seth, I'm going to give you a last minute here. Tell me what's going to happen in the next 5 years. There we go. Next 5 years, exactly what's going to happen to the whole concept of FedRAMP.
So in the industry, right? So what's happened if I go backwards 5 years, right? And I look what happened there. You know, cloud was just being born. The data centers were really important, but you know, really expensive. And so the reason why we went to the hybrid model is because we were fighting budgets, right? And so the next 5 years is going to be the exact same thing, right? Budgets are going to get smaller. We're going to have to do more with less, and the technology is going to just get cheaper and cheaper. So really, it's a race to the bottom, where infrastructure is going to be, you know, we're going to do, you know, headless computing, you know, and containerization on a micro level, where now the segmentation across the industry really goes back over to DevSecOps, right? So I can secure this, it can float around in hyperspace, and get the job done.
That's wonderful. We're going to have to end our conversation here. We're running out of time. You have been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Our guest today, Matt Goodrich, Director of the Federal Risk and Authorization Management Program, or FedRAMP. We have David McComber, EVP Public Sector and Federal at QTS, and Seth Abrams, CTO, Homeland Security Group, CSRA. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you miss any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.